Good morning, everyone. We're gathered today with the theme, Into a Far Country, working with a text that is well known, but we expect that God will speak uniquely this day through this text and through Joni.
This morning, we're privileged to hear a message from Dr. Joni Sankin, Assistant Professor of Preaching, and one of the newer faces at our very own Eastern Mennonite Seminary. Dr. Sankin grew up in Urbana, Illinois. She holds a bachelor's degree from Goshen College, master's of divinity degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and a PhD in homiletics from the Toronto School of Theology. Joni is passionate about reclaiming the sermon as a transformative tuning note for all of congregational life, and sees life-giving potential in connecting preaching to the cross. Joni is greatly valued for what she brings to the seminary and to EMU. She speaks and relates to others with wisdom and grace. Joni is married to Steve Shum, who is currently serving as associate pastor at Community Mennonite Church here in Harrisonburg. And you may have seen Joni this fall or spring traipsing across campus with baby Maggie and three dogs. And if you see that, greet her and get to know her. It's well worth your time. After we hear the scripture text for this morning, Joni will bring us a message entitled, Into the Far Country. So welcome, Joni.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable.
There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father,
"Father, give me my share of the estate."
So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said,
"How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'"
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him,
"Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his servants,
"Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and now is found."
So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
"Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound."
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father,
"Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?"
The father said,
"My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and now is found."
Thank you, students, for that multi-voiced reading of this text. And thank you, John, for that kind introduction. It's a joy to be with you this morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In The Wizard of Oz, a young girl from a Kansas farm, Dorothy, is frustrated by her mundane life at home. She fills her time dreaming about a far country where dreams come true and troubles melt like lemon drops. Not that her home life is that full of trouble. Sure, she might have the occasional scuffle over her misbehaving dog or fall into a pig trough every now and then, but basically life is just boring. And she wants to see what the world looks like beyond the picket fences of the farm at home. Opportunity for Dorothy comes in the form of a nasty storm and a twister that sends her house flying into the far country, the land of her dreams. Only when she gets there, it's not as perfect as she hoped. In fact, upon arrival, she immediately desires to go home again. Now, of course, being a good Hollywood movie, Dorothy's story has a happy ending. And before the credits roll, Dorothy, safe and surrounded by family and friends, will proclaim to everyone, "There's no place like home." Wouldn't it be great if our lives were like this familiar movie? If our own narratives always had happy endings? We too dream of a perfect world without troubles or illness or death, but we live in a world that is far away from that ideal. We ache with the stories untold by Hollywood endings. Work and chores and troubles and twisters are real stuff in our lives. Yet the heart of our faith tells us that we are never far from God, because our God is never content to be far from us. Jesus' parable about the lost son is perhaps the parabolic equivalent to a movie like The Wizard of Oz. It's one of the most familiar parables, even to those who are outside of the church. Today, I'm going to focus my comments on the younger son and his perilous journey into the far country, a distant land far from home. You guys wouldn't really miss it if I pulled my share out from the family business, right? I've decided to take my life in another direction and could really use the cash. The young man's comment breaks the casual silence of the dinner table. Father, settling back and wiping a crumb from his beard, looks his younger child straight in the eye and says, "My whole life I have worked to build an inheritance for my children. I see no reason why I cannot divide my property now if you would rather go out on your own." Within days, the younger man has begun to put his new life plan into action. Live for today. He wants to be anywhere but home. He needs to get away to a far country. The farther, the better. Secure with a large amount of money, the younger brother doesn't really worry about settling into a plan right away. He's sure the right opportunities will come along. Only, what does a good opportunity look like when you see it? In the far country, everything seems different, foreign. He doesn't even speak the language. So he uses his money to build a community around him, but they don't help him make the best decisions. What do they care? They don't really know him anyway. They're just out for a good time. So when the dust clears, younger brother is low on cash and alone in a far country, just scraping by when disaster hits, the ancient world's equivalent of the Great Recession, drought, and economic ruin. Living on the streets by this time, he takes the only job he can get, working as a hired hand for a local farmer, agreeing to be paid in room and board, if you could even call it that. The pigs had a cleaner pen and better scraps. Alone in a strange, far country, he feels empty from his pockets to his stomach to his very soul. There's only one option: return home where there is always a warm fire and enough to eat, trustworthy counsel from people who cared about him. And so, saying farewell to the pigs, he begins traveling through that far country. Unfortunately, the far country is not only the stuff of parables. We too have spent time in the far country. Maybe you're an immigrant, a refugee seeking asylum, one of the many who move to our region every year. Your move from the Democratic Republic of Congo was not by choice, but by necessity. But like the son in the story, you too have left the familiar country of father and brother for a far country with strange customs and a new language. You struggle to learn English. You struggle with government red tape concerning family resettlement. You struggle to maintain familiar customs. You are alone in a far country. Or maybe you are walking with a loved one who is seriously ill. Diagnosis cast you into new territory. Treatment options, chemotherapy, doctors, hospice. Each stage of illness feels like a new and terrible world. You wonder if death might bring relief, or will it only plunge you deeper into this strange land? Will anything feel familiar again, or are you doomed to wander forever in a far country? Sometimes our lives feel just like one endless journey in a far country. Each time we begin to feel at home, life deals us another blow. It can happen so fast. Words without warning hurl us into the unknown. You're fired. It's cancer. There's been an accident. I'm gay. I've met someone else. Each blow a little death of sorts, each one bringing us closer to that most distant country of all, the country from which there is no return, death itself. How can we ever find our way through the far countries of our own lives? Like us, the prodigal son struggled through his journey. Each day was harder than the last as he trudged through that far and distant land. The young man is caught up in the misery of his situation, just putting one foot in front of the other, unaware of how close he is to home, when suddenly he hears the sound of sandals slapping against a hard dirt road. And before the boy can say a word, he is completely caught up, wrapped in his father's arms. Jesus' parable is a powerful story about the love of a human parent. How much deeper is the love of our heavenly parent, who was not content to run out meeting us halfway, but who sent God's own son, Jesus Christ, out into the far country of human existence. Our God loves us so much that God incarnate goes out into the far country after us. Jesus experiences temptation, rejection, hunger and thirst, anger, isolation, betrayal, and torture, each step of his journey bringing him deeper into the far country, ultimately ending in the painful and lonely death of a criminal, a death he chooses so that no part of human existence will be untouched by him. Only Jesus Christ does what we cannot do. He returns from the far country, and an amazing thing happens. The far country is no longer far. Loss and loneliness, fear and sickness, destruction and devastation of all kinds are losing their grip. We can travel no road that is unfamiliar or distant from our God. Jesus Christ has chosen to draw near. He has chosen to make the whole world his home, so that in him, we too are always at home. Because Jesus Christ has drawn near as our own skin, there truly is no more far country. Because even death has lost its hold on us, we no longer need fear the far countries of human existence. At home in Christ, we can journey without fear to far places and dark places, carrying the light of Christ with us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we reach out to each other, out to the refugee and the asylum seeker, offering help with language and cultural barriers, creating a sense of home by listening and learning about culture, working to help family members immigrate to safety, we can help each other feel at home. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk alongside caregivers and those who are suffering from illness. We can let them know that they are not alone, offering caring, support, and love, bringing them home to the knowledge that suffering and death do not have the last say. Even in this world, which still harbors dark and desolate places, the far country is crumbling. The far country is passing away. Simple words break through from God's kingdom. I care. I'm listening. You're welcome. There's still hope. I love you. The kingdom reality is that God has chosen to make God's home among people so that we will never be far away. God calls to us in the words of the psalmist, I have searched you and know you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I search out your path and am acquainted with all your ways. I will hem you in behind and before and lay my hand upon you. You can never go from my spirit, can never flee from my presence. If you ascend to heaven, I am there. If you make your bed in the pit, I am there. If you take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there my hand shall lead you, and my right hand shall hold you fast. The darkness is not dark to me. The night is as bright as the day, for it was I who formed you, knit you together in the womb. Even at the end, I am still with you. There's no place like home.